Praise God. And really have a good time this Christmas Eve. And we look forward to a great time this Christmas as we remember the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ into this planet Earth. And just now we were talking about festival arts. Every idea for it to take place costs money, and it costs and it takes planning. And so we're going to go about trying to promote some of the Christian artists and drama groups. And I see the day where we're going to tape our worship, live worship here, and put it into albums and have it distributed to the body of Christ at last. And so we make use of the finances that we reserve for that area for this. But it will mean that we have to get our own songs from the Spirit so that we do not violate copyright law. And so throughout the next 1, 2, 3 years, and even from the past 6 years since Tabernacle of Glory existed, there are many songs that have come out in the Spirit. And we'll be working along with the various music groups to approve these songs to be placed in. And so one of the coming Sunday services, maybe the next year, maybe the following year, we're going to take it live with all songs that are composed from here at Tabernacle of Glory. And the songs will be introduced probably at one at a time throughout a year or so that we'll be familiar by the time we worship God with all those songs. We praise God that that's what Christian life is about, and that's what the vision of Tabernacle of Glory is about. We want to promote both fivefold ministries and the talents and gifts and ministries that are there in the body of Christ. And it takes a vision to bring it to pass, it takes finances to bring it to pass, and it takes planning and organization to bring it to pass. We believe that with the grace of God and by the help of the Holy Spirit, that we will be able to bring about those things. And in 5 years' time, you will see that there will be local groups here that produce their own albums. We will give them a good start. And there will be, 5 years' time, you will probably see some full-time Hosanna troopers going around, producing their own comedy that brings and wins the world to Jesus. And we're going to try to distribute what we produce here in every place where the ministry goes, all over the world. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer as we consider His word. Father, we praise You and we thank You. Your grace and Your mercy continues upon our lives. We ask, O God, that You will establish Your word in our lives as we look at Your word. This Christmas we have worshipped You. We gather together to worship You, because, Lord, before we visit one another, we must worship You first. We must corporately put You first. It is why we are gathered today here, in this place. We thank You, O God, for Your grace and Your mercy. Let Your word go forth, touch our lives and transform our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. As I pondered on the message for this Christmas, it occurred to me that when Jesus came into the world, and according to chronological scholars, the time that Jesus actually came to this earth was most probably about April. But since Christmas Day is set aside to remember Jesus, and it's a holiday, a public holiday, it's a good time to remember the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to this planet Earth. As you consider that matter on Jesus Christ coming to this earth, I thought and prayed about it, and I said, Lord, Your coming to this planet earth was prophesied for nearly 4,000 years of recorded Bible history, from the time of Genesis right up to the time of John the Baptist, the last prophet before Jesus. Many men of God have prophesied before You came to this planet earth. And an entire nation of Israel has been prepared for Your coming. And it must be a majestic event that all heaven looks forward to, that God the Father looks forward to. But when the Lord Jesus actually came to this planet Earth, nearly 2,000 years ago, who were there to welcome you? If it's that important to heaven, if it's that important to all the prophets of old and men of God that look forward to the event for 4,000 years, when you actually came, Lord, who were there to welcome you? Let us look at who were those to welcome the coming of the Lord Jesus. I felt disappointed. And I said, Lord, this world didn't give you the kind of welcome that the angels were giving you. Why were there not people welcoming you? And that was, there's a spiritual truth there. The same hindrances that prevent people from knowing when he was coming and welcoming him, and the same principles in the spirit that prepare some people to welcome him, are the same principles that will guide us to learn to welcome every move of God, to learn to welcome the Lord Jesus when it's time for him to come again the second time. But the same situation that hindered those people are going to hinder some people from being ready for the Lord Jesus when he comes again the second time. So we can learn from the coming of our Lord Jesus the first time to the planet Earth. Let's look first at the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 10 and verse 11. It says, in talking about the Lord Jesus, the true light of the world, verse 10 and 11, he was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. When he came, the world did not know him. The one who made the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own, that refers to the Jews, did not receive him. The very people who should have been the first to welcome the Lord Jesus were not there to welcome him. Instead, other people welcomed him. What a sad fact. But there's a lesson that we have to learn from the historical event of Jesus coming to the world. Let's look at those people who did not welcome Jesus. Why did they welcome him? What caused them not to be ready to welcome him? It says in verse 11 of John chapter 1, he came to his own people, the Jews, and there was no welcome waiting for him. Why was there no welcome among the Jews, the Israelites, his own people? People to whom the words of prophecy has been given. People to whom the law has been given. People to whom the Lord Jesus said that I'm sent to the Lordship of Israel. The first people to receive Jesus, the opportunity was given to them. Why didn't they welcome Jesus? Let's look over here at the Gospel of Matthew. The people who were supposed to welcome Jesus when he came, in Matthew chapter 2, were the Israelites. And when it was time for Jesus to come to this planet Earth, they were not ready. It took some strangers from far away. And by that time, it was over several years before they arrived at Jerusalem. They saw the star from far away when Jesus was born. And the three wise men, when they came, by the time they reached Jesus, Jesus was at least about between 1 to 2 years old. We know that story because when the wise men came to Jesus, it says Jesus was standing in the house. That's in Matthew chapter 2. The old story that the wise men came to the manger is not scriptural. They saw the star that was manifested when Jesus was born in the manger. But they traveled so far that by the time they reached the place where of Israel, where they discerned the star to shine over, Jesus was between 1 to 2 years old, which is another reason why Herod had all children under 2 killed, because that was about the age of Jesus. And you can see that the wise men came to Jesus in a house, not in a manger, Matthew chapter 2. But the surprising thing is here, 2 years have passed after Jesus Christ was manifested, and they still didn't know. They still didn't know. Just like some people don't know when the Holy Spirit comes. 1 hour after the Holy Spirit comes, they still don't know the Holy Spirit is already there. That the anointing is already there. And sometimes you are waiting for a move of God, and the move of God has started, but from a quarter or a place that we never expected. And the move of God caught fire in a place of a group of people who are insignificant and who were not recognized, and then we never recognized it. Sometimes 1 or 2 years pass by before we recognize the move of God has come, when He has already begun. So here are the Jews. God has already moved, and 2 years later, here comes the wise men. We're not sure whether they were three. How did they get the number three? Because they were three Jews. There may be more than that. But when they came and they said in verse 2, "Where is he who has been king of the Jews? We have seen his sign in the east and have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Instead of being excited, they were troubled. Look at that. They were already 2 years delayed in welcoming Jesus. And now the wise men came, and they want to honor the Lord. They want to worship the Lord who has come to this earth. It was so important to them that they travel for nearly 1.5 years to 2 years to come. And the response of the Jews, all Jerusalem, he said, was troubled with him. Herod was troubled because Herod was in those days known as the king of the Jews. He had done a lot of favors for the Jews, and they sort of acknowledged him as a sort of king, secular king. So here was someone to challenge him. So Herod and the Jews were all one crowd who never welcomed Jesus, never looked forward to his coming. Why didn't they look forward to his coming? Because, number one, they were happy as they were. They were not ready to change themselves in order to welcome Jesus. Everything was highly organized, highly planned. They have organized themselves to the extent that they don't need the Holy Spirit anymore. They planned their lives in such a manner that they don't need God to move anymore. They are doing all the moving. Number two, you notice here that when the wise men asked, "Where shall we find the Lord Jesus Christ?" or "Where shall we find the King of the Jews?" Verse 4 and 5. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people, the best of the flock, the best and the cream of the nation of Israel, the top scholars, together he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Israel, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler which will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Number two, they have the word of God, but they don't practice the word of God. The word told them where Jesus was going to be born. If they had been sensitive to the word of God, they would know the time is right. First of all, they were comfortable in themselves. They had everything they need. Everything was going on nicely. They had food on the table, shelter above them, close to where. And they don't need God, they don't need Jesus. They were just comfortable as they are. Number two, they have the word, but they don't practice the word. They were hearers of the word, but they were hypocrites. Jesus later in his lifetime rebuked them. "You have the word, but you don't do the word. Hearers of the word, but not doers." So the reason why these people didn't welcome Jesus is the word. If you hear the word long enough but never practice it, something will happen. It becomes worse than never hearing the word. It means that now, even the mighty word of God has no effect on you. It means that now you will be twice or 10 times or 10,000 times as hard as you were before. I mean, not to have it, hear the word is one kind of situation. But to hear the word and not be moved by the word will cause us to be even more hard against the Lord. When we receive a word from the Lord, a command from the Lord, and we refuse to obey, we choose to be a hearer and not a doer, we will move into this group that never welcomes Jesus when he manifests, and will not be ready when Jesus comes. Number three is Herod. Number seven, Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he did it for wrong motive. He did it because if he could find out where Jesus was to reach, he wants to get rid of Jesus. Jesus was not crucified by the masses who were healed, who were touched, who were blessed by his ministry. The crucifixion of Jesus was a plot planned by the same group of people, the scribes and the Pharisees, the high priest. The third thing, this group of people who never welcomed Jesus, the third thing is that they have locked themselves into a position that if God wants to do something, God has to do it their way. If God manifests any other way, or if the voice of God comes through a carpenter and not from one of their Pharisees, they will not accept. In other words, they are saying, God, I want you to work, but I want you to work my way. Yeah, Lord, we are looking forward to welcome you. But if you want us to welcome you, you come to our condition. You don't ask us to come to your condition. They have made themselves bigger than God. So when God came, lowly on a donkey, they rejected him while the crowd accepted him. Because the third thing, why they couldn't welcome Jesus, they want Jesus to come on their terms. What about the other crowd? The wise men. Who do they represent? So this group that didn't welcome Jesus represent hearers of the word but not doers. And they've grown so hard that everything planned that they were not ready to welcome Jesus when Jesus came. But here were the wise men. Who do they represent? They represent the people of the world. They represent people who are hungry for God. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And these people who are hungry for God, number one, they followed the star. They saw the star and they made a commitment to God. So number one, people who are there, who will be born again, who will come to accept Jesus and accept the move of God when it comes, are people who, number one, have a hunger for God. They have a hunger for God. Those who are not hungry for righteousness, not hungry for God, the move of God can come and go, it makes no difference. Now that's opposing to the people of the world that you'll find later when you look at the Gospel of Luke, who are not hungry for God. But those who are hungry for God, number one, they will obey their hunger, their spiritual hunger, and begin to go on a spiritual search. When I was young, I did believe in God. In primary school, I believed that there is a God, although no one told me that. From creation, I sort of looked up in the sky and know that there must be a God. By the time I was in the age of 16, I became an atheist. I did not believe in God anymore. Too much education, too much training, too much science training, and too much materialism, and I never believed in God. I thought atoms and molecules are the half of life. But what happened was that my sister got demon possessed. I heard the demon speaking to her. I heard demons manifest. Something in my philosophy clashed. I said, science couldn't explain that. And something in me went on a spiritual search. I became hungry for the truth. Something that explains why I'm here. And I yielded to the hunger and went on the spiritual search. And along the line, some of my friends brought me to church and I was born again. So those who yield to their spiritual hunger and make a commitment. There are some people who are hungry but will pay no attention to their spiritual hunger. Every night before they sleep, they have a good life. But every night before they sleep, something asks them, where are you going in eternity? What will happen when you die? They try to rub it out of their mind with wine, with liquor, everything. But one day they will face that question and they have to resolve it. Number two, this group of people had opportunity to hear the word. They came across the Pharisees and the scribes, the most unlikely people. The first time they hear the scriptures, what does the scripture say where the king of the Jews will be? And the scribes and Pharisees say, in Bethlehem. Straight away they go to Bethlehem. Look at how they obey God's word. The moment they say, hey, it's in Bethlehem, all right, I'm going there now. They're not going to delay, they're not going to postpone, they're going there now to look for the king of the Jews. So number two, there were people who hear and straight away obey the word of God. Number three, verse 11, when they come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country and another way. Number 11, third point, they became worshippers of the Lord. There's no calling higher than being a worshipper of God. But that's what God brought them into true worship. Now in the meantime, there were other people in the world who were not interested in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, what was happening to the other people who were not like the wise men? There are two groups of people in the world, those hungry for God, those not hungry for God. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Then this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. Number one, because we're having a short sermon, our points very fast. Number one, this group of people, they have a big event, something taking place in the natural. The world had never done this before. There was no such thing that has happened out in the world before. This is the first time they're having a census. It was also a time of celebration. You can see that all the major towns and cities were filled. All the hotels in town were booked. We all know what it's like. I mean, in the sometimes in certain celebrations, certain big events in town, let's say supposing one day they have the Olympic Games in Malaysia, guess what? All the hotels in town will be booked. Wouldn't you consider that to be a big secular thing? It will be the talk of the town. The Teh Tarik store will be talking about it. The bus driver will be talking about it. Taxi drivers will be talking about it. I mean, when Malaysia won the Thomas, what is the Thomas Cup? Yeah. My taxi driver was so excited. I was going down to Singapore and sent him, and he was so excited. He was like he won. Now here is something exciting. The whole world is being having a census. Everybody is going to town, and at the same time they make use of the season to visit their friends. Number one, the group of people out there in the world who did not welcome Jesus, number one, they never read the signs of the time. There are some things that today God is ordering in the world. Events that you read in the headlines, in the backlines, and in the middle line of the paper. But they are not sensitive to the times and seasons that are happening. Did you know that this whole census is for one reason? There is only one reason for the census. The Roman Empire thing is for them. But there's only one reason. God wanted Jesus to be born in Bethlehem. And he moved an entire Roman Empire for that to take place. An angel must have came to the Roman Caesar and whispered, call for a census. Come to you and say, good idea. He ignored it. And the angel said, call for a census. Yeah, good idea. And night before he slept, call for a census. So he said, yeah, good idea. He consulted a few people and he got some yay, some nay. So he is not sure what to do. The angel came, call for a census. So in the end, he called for a census. The entire reason for the census is because Jesus is to be born in Bethlehem. But the world never saw it. The world saw the census, but not the law. And there are many out in the world who are not sensitive to some things happening out in the world. They don't read the signs of the times and the seasons we are living in. The nations of the world are moving in a way for God's end time plan to be fulfilled. And they are not getting themselves ready. Instead of being more hungry for God, they get busy. In a time like the census, more business. More busy. The busier get busier. The going get gone. And they don't understand everything is so that we could welcome Jesus. They got trapped in the hustle and the bustle and the cares and the concerns of this life. And when Jesus actually came, the sad thing in Luke 2, it tells us, verse 7, everybody had a hotel room, but there was no hotel room for the one for whom the census was for. The whole purpose of the census is for Jesus. But the one for whom the entire heaven and earth was moved to plan for, there was no room for him. That shows how unwelcome he was. There was no room because everybody was busy and there had no room for him. That's the second thing that took place. In verse 7, they relegate Jesus to a humble manger. They put him in a place fit for animals. Of course, we try to beautify the story by getting fresh straw, fresh hay, making the manger scene look so beautiful and glorious. But it was a place where the animals, dung, and all the dirty smells were there. And Mary had to make her back out of a worse situation. That happens when we become too busy for God, when we turn down the kind of thing. Number two, what happens? We will relegate Jesus to a time of convenience. It's not convenient for us now that we need Jesus. We're not ready for it. Some people worship the God of convenience. I will only become the thing about it yesterday when I left my living. They are saying that I worship convenience. When it's convenient for me, then I will come to church. When it's convenient for me, I think about spiritual things. You don't talk about the mighty God of the heavens and the earth and the earth. You don't talk to the boss you work for that way. Boss, although you employ me, I will serve you and help you when it's convenient. You'll be fired and convicted. Yet we talk to the Creator who gave us life, who gave us breath. And he said, we will worship you when you come here. We will welcome you when you come here. That happened to them. And the third thing that happened is that, which is not recorded here, because Jesus came and went and did that. They never experienced Jesus, they never saw him. And God, when you choose to draw near to God, God will draw near to you. And God will say this in the Old Testament, if you reject me, I reject you. He will have a great spirit before he does this. But if you constantly reject God, there will come a time when we will be like Pharaoh, and you put us in the second level of predestination, and you say, that's it. You are now set aside for the destiny. Those who love God, God will love. Those who hate God, God will still love them. But in judgment will come upon you, because God will take the stand of protection for you. After that, what about those who welcome God? Who were they? There were this group here, the third group of people, the shepherds. The shepherds. Why did God specially go to the shepherds? The shepherds represent. As I look at it, Lord, why must you especially go to the shepherds? Why don't you send the angels right to the town hall where the people gather? And say, look here, this day they serve King born in a manger. Why go to the shepherds in the country when everybody was in the city? Remember, the census was not everybody's in town. Just like last night when we were driving down here, and we got into the traffic, we said, I know this looks like 8 to 9 in the morning. Just last hour. I don't know what the world is doing in Christmas Eve when they don't know the Lord. Looks like last hour traffic. What's the world doing? It's busy. And I say, Lord, why do you appeal to the world? Send the angels, tell them. And the Lord said, if you send his angels to them, they will have more faith. They will call the angel from there now unto you. But the world will not receive it. And God knows, so God don't waste time. God doesn't waste time sending angels to the city hall, to the hotel, so the people were booking. They were too busy. Those three boys were working against that. They're not interested in God, so God doesn't bother to send angels to them. But out in the country, there's a group of people, the shepherds. They've already possibly completed the census, and they were away from the world. That's number one. They were people who were not caught up in the things of this time, the world. I mean, it's a busy time. Every shepherd that was working took off the day to go to town. Christmas Eve. They took off. And this group of people, they are, I'm not interested in those things. Their special song open today, they one of the worthy subjects. No, say the speaker subject. I'm not interested in those things. Come on, the new stall, the people from our station all come open shop. This shepherd in the country say, no, we're not interested. We just have to look out at the sky above, thinking about God. So the first thing, why these shepherds had a special manifestation, they were not tied up to the world, or the world system. They were simple folks who just loved God. Loved God more than things. But the people in the world, they loved things more than God. Number two, why God manifest to these shepherds? Verse 8. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Number 2. They knew they had a job to do, and if nobody did their job, the field would be lost. These were people who had a high measure of faithfulness. They were sacrificial, and they were faithful. They never mind you, you others. Shepherds who are wanting to go in the town, you go ahead. somebody's going to do this job. We will sacrifice and we will look after this sheep. They'll take care of all your job for you while you're away. And they will move it to God because some shepherds trying to count the day. They were number two, faithful people. Faithful people. You see here in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, in verse 9, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel told them what happened. Do not be afraid, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, you will find a baby wearing a spreading cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was this, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Now look at how the shepherds respond in verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem, and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Why? The world could not expect them to leave their job. The Lord could. Everything Satan had offered to them to draw them away from their job could not. But when the Lord sent his angels and talked about this glorious thing, they were willing to let go. And God ruled their life. They said, let's go. Somebody said, what about the sheep? Let's commit them to God. Because it is God who sends us there, God will take care of our sheep. But if we are gone by ourselves because of the child, while the others go to Bethlehem for other reasons, the only reason they go to Bethlehem is to see the Lord. They don't want to see the new stalls, they don't want to see the other things that are down. Such a commitment, I'm sure the Lord will take care of the sheep for them. That day, the angels were doing the shepherding for them. To make sure no bears, no tigers, no lions come by. And you can see the third response. They had an immediate response to God. They were right and ready for the house. They were people who trembled at God's word and who loved God. The moment God said they were willing to drop everything and just say, God, Lord Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you need. That is why God bless the shepherd. And hey, look, they make haste. They went very quickly. You see, no delay. They are not going to postpone for 2 years. Something like that. Immediately, they say, I mean, it's important for the angels, it's important for them. It's important for Jesus, it's important for them. Say, let's go now. Now there's a fourth group of people who also responded the right way. And that's the Gospel of Luke. Simeon and Anna represent the fourth group. Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 25. Why did this fourth group respond to God? In verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, and we should be like this fourth group, whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Number one, this fourth group had set themselves apart. They had kept all the conditions that the shepherds kept, but they went further. The shepherds only saw the manger. They saw the Lord dedicated. And they even know the future. That's what the church should be like. Number one, Simeon waited for the coming of Jesus. Every day he looked forward to that. He will be like a Christian today, getting up in the morning and coming to God and say, God, when are you going to come back to Jesus? We need you, Lord Jesus. We know that you are delaying because there are more people who shouldn't say this when you come back. But, oh Lord, we look forward to your coming. And we keep ourselves consecrated and separated for your coming. Oh God, we look forward. That's the first thing they look forward to, and they prepare for Jesus coming. And whenever God does anything new or bring a fresh move of God or a fresh revelation, they will always be the first people to move into it. Number two, verse 26. But it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's coming. Verse 27, so he came by the Spirit. Number two, these are a group of people who are led by the Spirit. They learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that day, Simeon may have been praying, and the Holy Spirit said to him, Simeon, I want you to go now to the temple because the Messiah is being dedicated there. He heard the voice of the Holy Spirit and he followed the voice of the Spirit and led him to see Jesus. It's important to be led by the Spirit. And I was just speaking with a brother in the Lord. He said two men are beginning to do some ministry. He was talking to do some ministry. And he said, listen, I know to be true, I've been serving the Lord in my ministry since January. He said, I thought there are not many people led by the Spirit. More than one in a place. He was talking about Christians today, yeah. So someone has said, sorry, when you begin to enter the ministry, you realize that even some ministers and a whole bunch of sometimes believe, claim to be led by the Spirit, but they don't know the Spirit. They don't know His Spirit, they tell God. They do things that are in a plan, obviously cannot be by the Spirit. A whole group of them, small percentage are led by the Spirit. But bless God, the day is coming when more and more people are led by the Spirit. Amen. You're going to be led by the Spirit. You're going to hear His voice. You're going to hear His call. And there will be a heavy place the Lord needs them to go. Number three, it's found in Anna's life in verse 16 and 17. Verse 36 and 37. There was one Anna, prophetess, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. This woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. She had all the same conditions as the chapter 10, but she went further by 3 years. The third point, the group of people who will be there to welcome the Lord Jesus Christ are those who give themselves to prayer, worship, which is not departing from the temple, and he gave Jesus the kind of welcome that he should have deserved when he came into the world. Many believers in Jesus today keep remembering the day Jesus came, and we give him a welcome that he so sweetly deserved. But how sad that when he actually came, there were so few who welcomed him. Where all heaven, you can see in the shepherds, all heaven is praising God and rejoicing. But on earth, there were only a handful. But the handful today has grown to 10,000 times 10,000. There are so many believers in Jesus who really understand the spirit of Christmas. And we know that Jesus may not have been born on December 26th. But today, we want to say, Lord Jesus, we miss welcoming you when you came. But we want you to know how grateful we are when you came into the world. And we want to welcome you. Again and again, may 10,000 and 10,000 voices welcome you today on December 26th. The welcome that you meet, the welcome that was not accorded to you, we do accord to you. And not only that, we want to remain the group of people who will welcome the Lord when He comes the second time. And we want to be the group of people that welcome the Lord and the Holy Spirit whenever He does something in our life. Let's be like the shepherds. Let's be like Simeon and Anna. Let's not be like the Herod and all the scribes. Let's not be like the people of the world who are not hungry for God. Let's be like Israel and welcome the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we praise and we thank you. You have continued, Lord, to cause us to feel the joy of Christmas. To understand, Lord, what Christmas is about. How Jesus came to take our sins away. Thank you, Father God, for this time. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that we can be among the group that welcome you and understand the true spirit of Christmas. In Jesus' name. Please sit just one moment. If you think of yourself, I'm not sure really on the transparency in Excel, CS, Leo. To really understand, you shouldn't be asking. As you think that song, those of you who have not received the communion, can we have the communion ready now? For those of you, we want to make sure you receive the blood covenant that the Lord has for you. Ready, sir. Thank you, Dr. Communion has was served just now while ministering. It's a lot. But if we have missed out, please go to the back table and receive your communion today. It's such a blessing to take communion on Christmas, so we don't want you to miss it out. Praise God. Let's stand together. Go to the sun, Jesus, Leo. If you've never been born again this morning, and you'd like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, afterwards, you can come to the left here, and we will pray with you. You can ask your friend to bring to the front here, we'll pray with you. But let's sing here, Jesus, Leo, and we'll close for this. Praise God. God bless you. And visit one another in our homes and rejoice in the Lord.